Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jim Kaysen, Associate Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of the Interior. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Steve Sika. Jim, let's talk for a moment about the PMA, or the President's Management Agenda. Budget and performance integration lie at the heart of ensuring both that the strategic allocation and efficient use of funds are kept in check. Could you tell us about your department's efforts to get to green for budgeting and performance integration? And how has your organization expanded the use of financial data to inform its management decision-making process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'd like to start by backing up just a little bit.
Sure.
I would imagine that a lot of readers don't even know what the President's Management Agenda is. And basically, there's another side of the President and the White House that a lot of people don't get. And that is the President is very interested in good, solid, thoughtful management of government programs. And the President, through a variety of means, has basically said that he wants all of his subordinate managers to do a good job in marshaling their resources, using them effectively. Because at the end, all of these monies that we use within the federal government comes from the taxpayer. And he wants to make sure that the taxpayer is getting their money's worth. The President Management Agenda is basically a reflection of that thought process, where the President said there are certain things that you have to do in order to run an organization well. You have to manage your money well. You have to manage people well. You have to manage property well. And so our President's Management Agenda is a compilation of several items like that, where we have agreements with OMB reflecting the White House's views. We work towards becoming more efficient on those items to make sure that we can actually stand with a straight face and say we're marshaling our resources well. Within the part of performance integration between budget and performance, the basic process that we go through to deal with that issue is to establish metrics of performance that basically says I'm investing a certain number of dollars in this area. I expect to get a certain performance or result as a result of the money, and then to actively measure that over time. If we find that we're getting more results than we expected, that looks like a pretty good investment, and you can make decisions about whether you do more or less of that. If you find you're not getting any results, it indicates at least there's the possibility of a management problem that needs to be addressed. The Department of Interior has been very active at looking at metrics. We've actually developed a department strategic plan. Within that strategic plan is the mission areas and the metrics we use to measure performance, and we use that on a quarterly basis to make sure that we stay on track.
Now, in the last OMB scorecard, nearly half of the federal agencies received either a yellow or a red rating in financial performance. Could you tell us from your perspective why this is such a challenging area for federal agencies? And more importantly, what has your organization done to progress and improve over the last year, so much so that OMB has provided you a green rating in progress?
Well, financial management is an important part of the scorecard. And it's also a very difficult area. Let me illustrate with our auditing process. One of the things that we do within the Department of Interior and across government is we perform an annual audit of how we've managed our appropriated funds. And then at the end of that annual audit, you get a sense of what sorts of material weaknesses do you have in internal controls. How has your financial performance been? How have you managed your money? It's a difficult process, and when we began this administration, that process usually took 6 or 7 months after the end of a fiscal year before you could close your books. We now do this within the Department of Interior within 45 days, and we have moved from in 2001 when we started the administration, we had 17 material weaknesses in our books, along with a host of other findings. And it looks like we're moving in a direction for this year that we'll have none. So we have spent a lot of time and effort within the department in our various bureaus to actually make sure that we take the steps necessary to manage our money well. And let me give you one other example. While I was acting as the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs, one of the things we did there is in prior year's audits found that the material weaknesses in the department were rooted in Indian Affairs. So one of the things I did is every 2 weeks we sat down with the senior management of Indian Affairs, went over our finances, went over how we were dealing with weaknesses in our finances, and made it the management team's responsibility to deal with it. This year, they're coming out with zero material weaknesses. So it's that management process that we go through.
That's a fantastic story. Jim, as you know, in addition to improving financial performance, the PMA has an additional initiative for right-sizing the federal government's real estate. The federal government currently owns hundreds of billions of dollars in real property assets, so improving the management of these assets is really important to ensuring that taxpayer dollars are spent wisely and efficiently. Would you tell us more about Interior's real property asset management initiative?
As I mentioned earlier, the Department of Interior manages 1 out of every 5 acres in the United States. That's a huge real estate responsibility. Not only the real estate itself, but improvements on the real estate, because we have 2,400 offices across the country. So what's important to the department is to make sure that we're being very thoughtful about how we can manage such a large land mass cost effectively. Some of the things we do in that arena is to block up our properties through sale or an exchange. If you're familiar with the West, one of the things that happened in opening up the West was tracts of lands were given to railroads across the West to build railroads for transportation. And that ended up fragmenting the land ownership pattern. So you'd have the states had some tracts, then we had some tracts, the railroads had some tracts, and then you had other third-party private people had tracts. And so one of the things we do to manage effectively is to block up our lands through sale and exchange, and because contiguous properties are easier to manage. Within the confines of what we do have to manage, we're also taking a look at the real estate buildings that we have to make sure we have a proper inventory, which we didn't start with, but we have an inventory of our real estate buildings now. We look at the condition of those buildings and we look at the utilization of those buildings so that we're in a position to say, if we don't need it, let's dispose of it. If we do need it, if it's in bad repair, let's repair it. And we make sure that we're getting a cost-effective response out of the real estate that we do manage.
Your department received an unqualified opinion on its principal financial statements for the 7th consecutive year, demonstrating a clear pattern of financial accountability. First, what is the significance of a clean opinion? And then if you could follow up and talk about the keys to successfully achieving a timely and clean opinion.
I think the keys first is that you make sure it's perceived as the responsibility of the entire organization to manage its finances well. And that's one of the things that we put a premium on at the department. We actively involve our employees and our management team to make sure that everybody is being fiscally prudent and that they're following the policies and procedures that we have for managing our money. The significance of a clean opinion is a reflection by a third-party auditor who has no business or ties to the department that they have independently looked at our books, looked at how we manage our business, and have drawn a conclusion that we are following policies and procedures and that we are managing the money well, that it's going to the right place in the right amounts and at the right time. So it's very important for us to have that third-party assessment to make sure that we are doing a good job and that we're identifying any problems that are there so they can be fixed in a timely way.
Now, Jim, to continue this path of kudos, I understand that once again your department has also received the CEER Award, which stands for the Government Accountants Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting. Could you tell us a little bit about this award and its significance?
It's an important recognition for the department about the job that we're doing. The organization, the Association of Government Accountants, basically reflects the accounting practices and business within the federal government. And in receiving the Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting Award from them, it basically gives us a sense that within the federal family that we are being recognized for the efforts that we make to manage our money well, and we're being recognized by other people who clearly understand the environment that we operate in within the federal government. The federal government, as you most people understand, is sometimes very complex. We have a lot of rules and regulations and policies that we have to follow. And this award is basically given by people who live in that environment, understand all those things, and who are attesting to the fact that we're doing a good job in that environment.
Now, Jim, earlier you started this segment by describing this administration's focus on being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. So what steps has Interior taken to better track and manage its costs? And can you tell us a little bit about the efforts in implementing activity-based costing or management within your department?
Activity-based costing is a technique of cataloging the individual costs that we sustain against some project or initiative. And it gives us the opportunity to begin the process of conducting cost-benefit analysis that should be the driver for our investments in government programs. And just generically, I'd illustrate that if I have to spend a lot of money to get very little benefit, and I find that by saying, I track how much I spend, I look at what results I created, then you say, I don't want to spend any more money in that place. If you go on the other hand, say, I created a lot of benefit by a relatively small marginal investment, then that's the kind of area you want to explore more. So we have a host of programs and services within the Department of Interior that are given to us through statute by Congress and through appropriations. And what we use the activity-based costing for is to further our knowledge about the relative cost and benefits that come as a result of our implementing programs, and allows us to tailor our efforts within the department to get the biggest bang for the buck for the taxpayer.
So in a sense, it's some way of quantifying a cost per unit of output and the benefit of that output.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. What is Interior's financial management modernization strategy? We will ask Jim Kaysen, Associate Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of the Interior, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.